I'd like to thank you very much for taking some time to look into the book of Acts with us this day and see what God was doing in those believers' lives and see how it could apply to ours, and especially see how the Holy Spirit was working and possibly how we could enter into that in a richer, deeper way. I wrote this message for September 19th of 2021, titled it Paul in Rome. And we're in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 17 through 22. We have one more message in the book of Acts next week, and then we're moving on to the book of Revelations, which would be a great challenge. So my outline, Paul in Rome, point number one, first to the Jews. Point number two, finally, Paul maintained his innocence. So first, Jews, finally, innocence. In our scriptures today, God through Paul will illustrate for us a Bible truth that's often received as sort of awkward because of our Gentile worldview, our self-centeredness. The fact is that God chose the Jews first, Abraham. Jesus came and reached out to the Jews first. That's true. Paul will reach out to the Jews first in Rome. And when we study the end of times in John's Revelations, we'll discover that the Jews are first, then will come the Gentiles at the end of all time also. So our text, Acts chapter 28, 11 to 22, goes like this. 3 days later, Paul called a meeting of the Jewish leaders, so they came. Paul said to them, "My brothers, I've done nothing against our people. I have also done nothing against what our people of long ago practiced. But I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They questioned me and wanted to let me go. They saw I wasn't guilty of any crime worthy of death. But the Jews objected. So I had to make an appeal to Caesar. It wasn't that I had anything against my own people. I share Israel's hope. That is why I am held with this chain. So I have asked to see you to talk with you." They replied, "We've not received any letters from Judea about you. None of our companions who came from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your ideas are. We know that people everywhere are talking against those who believe as you do." That's the end of our scriptures for today. So let's start with a short history lesson and a short review of Acts 18:2. So the context of Acts 18:2, Paul was in Corinth. As you remember from last week, that's where Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, was in Corinth. And in Acts 18:2, it goes like this. In Corinth, he met a Jew named Aquila, who was a native of Pontus. Aquila had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Emperor Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. That's the end. So, in Acts 18, we see that Emperor Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. One of the interesting things is they were allowed to leave Rome with only the clothes on their back. Claudius, like Hitler, confiscated all of their wealth and put it into the treasury because of a military campaign he wanted to make. Just like Hitler. The Emperor Claudius must have made that order temporary because the Jewish leaders were back in Rome. We see that. So, Paul in Rome. First to the Jews. Paul had wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, and he eventually got there in chains, though shipwrecked, and after many trials. Paul may have wished for an easier passage. He knew that God had blessed him greatly in allowing him to meet with the believers in Rome and to preach the message to both Jews and Gentiles. In all things, God worked together for Paul's good, he would write to them in Romans 8:28. We trust God to do the same for us. So Paul wrote to these Romans that God works everything for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And in this passage, we see him testifying to that. And we also can do the same. God may not make you comfortable or secure, but he will provide the opportunity to do his work. You see what I'm trying to say there? God may not make you comfortable or secure in the situation you're in, but that's not as important as an opportunity to do his work. Because of our self-centeredness, we often think about me first. But the truth of the Bible, the truth of reality is God's work, God's way should always come first. So 3 days later, Paul called the Jewish leaders together to meet with them, and so they came. A on your outline, God and Paul always start with the Jews first. So on your outline, God and Paul always start with the Jews first. Your blanks are always Jews first. There is something wonderful in the fact that wherever he went, Paul began with the Jews. As we've studied his letters and studied his trips in the book of Acts, he always starts in every city in the Jewish synagogue. Think about this. For more than 30 years, they've been doing everything they could to hinder his work, and they've even tried to kill him several times. And still, it's to the Jews first that he offers his message. That's an amazing truth. Paul said, "My brothers, I've asked you to come and listen to me today to make it clear that I'm on Israel's side. I am not against her." B on your outline. Paul wanted to make it clear that he was pro-Israel, not against her. So, Paul wanted to make it clear that he was pro-Israel. That's your blank. Would you describe yourself this way? Pro-Israel? Are you pro the Israel nation, Israeli nation? As I watched what they're doing with the new COVID vaccine and the extra third shot, they're gathering all of their data from studies in Israel. That's one of our trusted sources of reliable information. Is there any example of hope that cannot be defeated and love that cannot be conquered to match this act of Paul when in Rome 2 he preached first to the Jews? Next to Jesus, I'm not sure there's very many examples of a hope for the Jews. He's always going to them, that he never seems defeated, and his love for them cannot be conquered no matter what they do to him. That's amazing. This is the fact of life when one is walking in and after the Holy Spirit. When one is walking in and after the Holy Spirit, hope cannot be defeated. Love cannot be conquered. There's nothing to match the life of walking in God's Spirit and after God's Spirit. One will love and do good to all people that are not so good to them. So, the life of the Spirit is one that does good to people who often are not good to them. And the fact is, that's inside and outside of their family. I wrote that in there because sometimes I've noticed that Christians are more loving and forgiving and do good for the people outside of their family better than what they do inside their family. The reality is that people in your family can hurt you the deepest, and it's challenging to follow God's Spirit and to do good for people that don't do good to you. The Jewish leader said to Paul, "We want to hear what your ideas are. We know that people everywhere are talking against those who believe as you do. See on your outline, God gives everyone a chance to hear the truth. God gives everyone a chance to hear the truth. And everyone is your blank. This is what I believe. In some way, shape, or form, God will present himself to all people. God will present himself to all people, even without someone preaching the gospel to them, by the very things he's created in many places. People realize that there is a God and come to him in faith. God is creative by his nature. When you look at the book he wrote us, Genesis starts with his creative nature. He doesn't always do things in the exact same way. He is very creative in how he redeems his creation. There's one point I want to make here. It is that for 2 years, as Paul lived in his own rented house, he lived at his own expense and he earned his own way. He earned his own living for these 2 years as he was in chains. Even in prison, with his own two hands, he supplied his needs, and he was not idle in other things. Being a tent maker, he could make his tents in this rented place to provide for his needs. It was in prison that Paul will write his letters to the Philippians, and his letter to the Ephesians, and to the Colossians, and the book of Philemon. So not only is he making his living, making tents, but he's also doing an amazing job of ministering to the church of that generation. Don't forget, Paul was not alone in his living there. Dr. Luke and Aristarchus was with him, and Luke remained to the very end. Dr. Luke stayed till Paul was murdered and then moved on to another ministry. Timothy was also there with him often and would take letters from Paul to certain places. Sometimes Tychicus was there also, and sometimes Mark was there too. So he wasn't alone. Paul will write to the Philippians that all this happened for the gospel to be spread further. When he writes his letter to the Philippians, which is one of the first ones he did, he will explain that all that's happened to him is for the gospel to be spread further. And one of those areas was the Roman Praetorian Guard that guarded Paul. There was a Roman there all the time on duty, and Paul ministered to them in such a way that many of the Romans in the elite Praetorian Guard became believers. So our outline, Paul in Rome. First, we look to the Jews. Second, finally, Paul maintained his innocence. Paul said to the Jewish leaders, "The Jews in Jerusalem arrested me on trumped-up charges, and I was taken into custody by the Romans. I assure you that I did absolutely nothing against the Jewish laws or Jewish customs. I have done nothing against our people. I have also done nothing against what our people of long ago practiced." A on your outline, Paul believed all God's ways are perfect. Paul believed all God's ways are perfect. And your two blanks are believed all. Paul knew most of the Old Testament by heart. To be in the Pharisee sect that he was in, he would have memorized all of the Old Testament. That's amazing. Paul's understanding of the law and its ultimate purpose in the lives of God's creation will be invaluable as he writes the truths that we now call the New Testament. God's Holy Spirit gave Paul a unique understanding of God's love and his grace and his plan of redemption, and it's written throughout the Old Testament. God's love and grace and redemption are written in many and all of the Old Testament. So for us, the question is, Do we believe all the prophecies and truths of the Holy Scriptures are relevant for our lives and our day-to-day living? That's the question. Do we believe all the prophecies of the Old Testament? This week I read the prophecies of Daniel, and many of those haven't been fulfilled yet, but I believe they will be fulfilled. And do you believe all of the Bible is true, Old Testament and New Testament? Paul said, after the Romans investigated the charges and found that there was nothing to them, they wanted to set me free. But the Jews objected so fiercely that I had to be forced to appeal to Caesar. I did this not to accuse them of any wrongdoing or to get our people in trouble with Rome. We've had enough trouble through the years that way with the Romans. B on the outline. Paul illustrates he loved his enemies and did good to them. Paul illustrates he loved his enemies and did good to them. So your two blanks are loved and good. First in Jerusalem, Paul did that. He illustrated it there. Then in Caesarea, he did that as well. And now in Rome, he is illustrating that truth also. There's a good chance that the Holy Spirit has something for you and I in Paul's illustration. In all these places and all these people were not nice to Paul, nor did they listen to him. But the fact is clear that he never stopped loving his people or his nation, even when they did not respond. Think about that illustration. He never stopped loving his people or his nation, no matter what they did to him. You see, we live in a time and a nation where when we express our love and our hope for salvation to people or our nation, it's not likely for it to be received and for them to respond to it favorably. That's just the world we live in. The truth is, it's much like what Paul was experiencing. And we need the Holy Spirit to generate within us the same life that Paul was living. We today, like Paul in our day, need not to get discouraged. Don't get discouraged when people don't respond and things don't work out the way you think they should. And we need to continue speaking the truth in love, even if people don't respond. Even if they don't respond over a period of time, continue to speak the truth to them. The Jewish leaders said, "We have not received any letters from Judea about you. None of our companions who came from there have reported or said anything bad about you." See on your outline. God protected Paul's innocence. God protected Paul's innocence. And the two blanks I made were protected and innocence. Paul explained his position to his people, explaining the circumstances of his arrest and near acquittal. And Acts 28:22, the Jewish leaders replied, "But we wanted to hear about your ideas and what they are. We know that people everywhere are talking against those who believe as you do." That's the end of the scripture. But because the Jews in Jerusalem had objected to his release, he was compelled to appeal to Caesar. His brothers were glad to hear his explanation because even they had heard about the many stories and the situation he had experienced around their world. It was a topic of conversation everywhere in the Jewish community, what had happened in the synagogues in many of the towns in that day. Paul's Jewish brothers, although they were strangers to him, felt a real kinship to Paul. They were a family. They had a common bond in their genealogy of being Jews. See, that's true of the family of God also. Because of our common experience with Christ, our salvation, and our common motivation from the Holy Spirit within us to guide and direct us, we, the church, are a family. We are God's family. God created us to be a part of a group that holds each other accountable and to have a sense of belonging and to care for each other. That's what's supposed to happen in our fellowships, that we're honest, we hold each other accountable, we have a sense of belonging, and we care for and love each other. In the end, Paul comes to the conclusion that Isaiah was correct. It was that this work of God, this rejection of Jesus by the Jews, is the very thing which has opened the door to us, the Gentiles. There's a purpose in everything. At the center of everything, there is an author and a director of God's grand drama. That is true. There's a purpose in everything that happens. At the center of everything that happens is the truth that God, the author, and God, the director of his grand drama, is there. The door which the Jews shut was the door that opened us Gentiles. And even that was not the end, because sometime at the end of the day, there will be one flock and one shepherd. We will study more about that in the book of Revelations. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so deeply thankful for what you did with Paul in this illustration in Rome. We are amazed at how you cared for him those years and how you allowed him his heart's desire to preach to the Jewish brothers. Even his illustration of how his life went should be a guiding light for us, that things probably are not going to work out the way we thought they were, but in everything that happens, you've got a good in mind, and that good is that we may do your work of presenting the love, the grace, the mercy, the sacrifice of your Son Jesus Christ, and our hope of salvation and resurrection life to people. I pray that happens today and the rest of our days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Trust.